Thanks, Tim. Just want to share for a few more minutes. I'll try and be brief. I'm sure some of the kids are feeling the time change and stuff like that. But it does also tie in a little bit with what Tim shared. It's in starts in Matthew 11. And Tim shared there was, in seeking after God and having his glory revealed to us, like in this world, you don't have to be humble to unlock mysteries. You can have a president or a king who's not humble at all up there announcing new discoveries and different things. But in God's kingdom, it's an unalterable principle that it will only be revealed to those who are humble. It'll also only be revealed to those who have faith. But I wanted to talk a little bit about humility today in Matthew chapter 11. A few weeks ago, I talked about children and the fact that Jesus was able to not only love children, but discern spiritual fruit in children, and that when he looked at children, he saw humility in them. That was valuable to him, that it wasn't just a principle like Jesus loves children because they're children. He does, but he also saw a humility such that when his disciples were proud and arrogant and arguing about who would be the greatest, he took a child and stuck him in the middle of them and said, look at this child. You want to be great? Become like a child. And he was contrasting their pride with the humility in a child. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, we see it again. It says, at this time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. So in this verse, he's talking about infants, but he's not actually talking about literal children this time. He was talking about the disciples who had come back from a mission he sent them on and had seen God working in powerful ways and healing the sick and casting out demons and different things. And his response to that was that he had to glorify his Father, because his Father is true to his principles, that those who are going to be learning and have the kingdom of God revealed to them are going to be as infants. They're going to be humble. And it says, it also says that this was well-pleasing, that our Heavenly Father is well-pleased to reveal himself to the humble. He's well pleased to reveal himself to those who are infants in their heart, who are like children in their heart, in the way that they respond to our Heavenly Father, way that they respond to God's dealings, way that they, like, one of the things, like, you think about humility in our children, like, one way that you can see humility in a child is that they don't, like, I know as we get older, it's like, as we get older and mature, like, that rebellion starts to come, right? Like, it's just in the flesh. And I know, like, even young people in our church, you feel that. You need God to help you tame that, because it's in our nature. As we grow up, that rebellion grows. Like, it's just in there. Like, we just resist authority. Whereas a child, almost the younger you get, the greater the trust is. Like, if whatever comes from mom and dad's hand, they don't doubt mom and dad's love. They don't doubt that there is some sort of wisdom or understanding there. And it's like, It's a maturing and a growing in our human nature that causes us to question and resist, whereas a child just believes and accepts. And that's a humility. That is a humility to believe and accept and to trust our Heavenly Father, even when we don't necessarily understand what's coming from his hand or it's hard to receive. Humility accepts it. I'm going to keep reading here in verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except for the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And I think if we tie that back to the verse we just read about those who are not the wise and the intelligent, but rather those who are coming as children to a Heavenly Father, well, I think we can tie those two together and say, those are the ones whom the Son wills to reveal the Heavenly Father to. Those are the ones who are going to see and understand the Father, who are going to see and know Jesus Christ, because they come as children. And then if we keep going, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. you can break these two apart. You can kind of think, okay, we got this one thing about revelation, and then a second thing about those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But look at what Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and humble and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think it's all linked together. I think it comes that those who are coming as children, those who have that humility, who have learned, like Jesus said, learn from me. I am humble and gentle in heart. Those are the ones who are able to find rest for their souls. Those are the ones who are able to be able to walk through this life. And none of us is going to be exempted from difficulties. None of us is going to be exempted from the trials of life. Some of what Tim talked about, some are going through greater trials, some are going through lesser trials. But in each one of us, I think all of us would say, like, who wants to walk through this life experiencing a Christian walk where we feel like the yoke is easy and the burden is light? I can say, I want that. Like, right? Yeah, I'll raise my hand. I want to walk and I want to have a life where I feel like my walk with my Heavenly Father is one that is easy and the burden is light. Well, I think the answer and the unlocking of that is found in those who are humble. For those who are humble, we can begin to find, and we can find that the serving our Lord, and we can find that walking through whatever he lays out in front of us, it feels easier and lighter to the extent that we're able to walk through these things in the humility and gentleness of Jesus Christ. And you can think about it in practical ways, right? Like, I think about it in my work or different things, right? Like, when is it hard? Like, it's hard when something comes and we feel like it's humbling us, and then there's a natural resistance to us inside of us that's like, doesn't like to get humbled, doesn't like to get taken down a notch or two. But to the extent that we've grown and become like Jesus, when we walk through difficult situations, we don't have to have that rebellion or resistance towards it, because we've been able to embrace and find that humility that Jesus is talking about, that humility of a child that is able to walk through these things and be able to find rest for our souls in the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of trying times. We can look to our Heavenly Father and acknowledge, you're right, your burden is easy and the yoke is light, because I've learned from Jesus to be gentle and humble in heart. And I'm not saying it's a progression, it's a journey. And we just keep walking on this journey and we keep seeing different ways and keep having it revealed to our hearts, new ways that we need to continue to grow in this humility and continue to allow our Heavenly Father to shape us and conform us to this image. But I was just thinking about this, like, to me, this is a promise. To me, there's a promise here that we can find rest for our souls, and the yoke can be easy and the burden is light, and it's linked directly to humility. And you can see it elsewhere where it says, who gets grace? God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is what makes the burden easy and the yoke light. It's not the circumstances that are promised to be easy and light. It's having grace in those circumstances that makes the yoke easy and the burden light. I want to read a couple of verses in Isaiah to finish. I'll go quickly through these. Isaiah 66 is the first one. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. And two things stood out to me here. The first one is that despite God's creation of this entire amazing universe that Tim talked about, and not only that, not even the natural created universe, but also the spiritual heaven and place where he dwells, he says in all of that creation, there's still one place he's looking for. He's looking for a place that he may rest. It's actually reciprocal. And it's not any shortcoming in God's sovereignty or omnipotence or all that he is, but God designed it this way that he would be able to find satisfaction, be able to find rest in those who are humble. And to me, it just shows me the prize, like how greatly God values humility, that he actually would say that it is a place when there's a humble soul, when our souls are humbled, it's actually a place where God wants to dwell. He wants to be there with us. But when we're proud, when we're arrogant, when we're thinking we're too good for our circumstances, or we're thinking a trial, like we're too good for this. And I say that knowing I've seen that in my own heart, and I encourage you to search that sometimes when you're really feeling like a circumstance is just unfair. Well, maybe just reflect on whether you're just thinking that you're a bit too good for this circumstance. Because maybe there's a little prize of some humility that can be found in that circumstance. And it says, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit. And humility and contriteness are linked together. But I had to look up, what does contrite mean? It's basically a feeling of sorrow or repentance for sins or past mistakes. And I would definitely call out that contriteness is a place that it's a place where we can abide in our hearts. And it's different than condemnation. Contriteness is not condemnation. Condemnation is a feeling of God's judgment and heavy hand upon a heart because of rebellion and resistance. But even those who have been forgiven and know that their place is established in the kingdom of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ can still have a contrite heart, can still remember where God has brought us from, whether it be a very short distance or a great distance. There can still be a contriteness of heart that knows that apart from the grace of God, we would still be abiding in those same messes that we've once lived in. And doesn't look down on others and look down on them because they're struggling maybe in areas that we've come out of or different things that we may think, like, how can they still be struggling in that? Or like, a contrite heart doesn't think that way. A contrite heart can just look and know that, but for the grace of God, I'd be there as well and pray for people and look to ways to help people, but not look down on them. And those are the ones that's the place where God can kind of find rest, in a humble and contrite heart. And let's just finish here in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. As I read that verse, I couldn't help but perhaps think that maybe this is some of where the Holy Spirit had inspired Jesus to share those words about the yoke being easy and the burden light, because he knew the spiritual principle that those who are contrite and lowly in spirit will find their hearts revived. And I was just thinking about that this morning. I was just like, you know what? I can sort of look back even on, I don't have to look back far. I won't get into details. I don't have to look back far to see some days where I felt like I needed some reviving, like where my heart was just not, like it was just a struggle. The yoke was not easy and the burden was not light. And I look at this and go, you know what? I think my Heavenly Father might have been looking to see my heart get a little more contrite, a little more lowly. Not because he's trying to crush me, but rather because he wants me to be coming to a place where he can revive me, where he can lift me up, where he can have me understand the way to seeing that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. And abide in a place where my heart is revived. Abide in a place where my heart is full of the grace of God, because it's also come to a place where it's humble and accepts God's dealings and is able to remain contrite and embrace what God has for us. And I would just also say this, that as I share these things, I don't have verses for this, but it's also critical, like Tim shared, to know that these things have to be mixed with faith. Because there can be a point of confusion that comes where thinking a contrite heart is actually just some sort of level of discouragement or hopelessness. It's not that. There's great hope. Humility and hope and faith are linked together in God's kingdom. So don't let the enemy deceive you into somehow thinking that some sort of hopeless place is actually contriteness. No, we need to have faith. We need to know that in the midst of, even in a difficult circumstance where God may be humbling us, we need to have faith to know that he loves us and he's going to bring us out of it. We need to have a confidence that to anyone who is willing to call upon his name, there is salvation. And as we go through difficult valleys, we have to be able to lift up our eyes and know where our salvation comes from, because that's where these circumstances can humble us, perplex us, crush us, but we won't be destroyed. We will not be forsaken, like Paul says. We'll be able to have hope in the midst of it. And whether they be great or small, like using those words, it can sound like it has to be a big, horrible trial. No, like even just our daily lives, we can go through little valleys, but we have to have hope in the midst of it, allow God to humble us, to make us more contrite, but also have faith to know he's using this for his glory, for his good. He's working in me, and he wants to teach me how to walk this path where the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because my heart has learned a little bit more to be like Jesus Christ, who was gentle and humble in heart.